Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien Podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello, sir. What can I do for you today?
Well, I've come to you today with a terrible case of an illness so heinous, so malevolent, that I barely want to speak its name.
Surely not.
Yes, I'm suffering with tonitis.
Tonitis, the disease so bad that it kills all of your guitar tone.
All of my guitar tone, sir, is gone.
Well, what you need to do is upgrade your pedal board and make your tone that bit better.
But doctor, how on earth will I afford such a thing?
Well, from the 1st of October to the 16th of November, you can buy two Boss pedals and get the third for free.
For completely free?
That's correct.
Sacre bleu!
Go to www.boss3for2.com, that's the number 3 and the number 2 and the word 4, to check out pedal combinations and all of the terms and conditions, and then go to any Boss UK dealer to get the promotion.
This is magnificent, sir. I will go home right now and order some pedals.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham. Joining me this evening is Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
In the house!
Good. I would like it if there was a catchphrase for everyone. And then as I introduce you, you do the catchphrase for that
week. The catchphrase being Matt says hello, I say hello, and Joe says in the house.
Yeah.
I said in da house.
Oh, sorry.
I think that's something we could work on. If listeners have maybe got some ideas, get on the Facebook group. Let us know what those catchphrases should be.
Fax them in.
Meet
us on the Facebook. How's everyone doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm good.
Just chipper.
I'm still very drenched.
We're recording this on Monday night.
Monday night.
It is absolutely tipping down outside. So,
it's really annoying because it was, when I left the house this morning, not raining. Not like sunny, but not raining.
Yeah.
Really? By the time I got to work, I leave my house a lot earlier than you leave your house. By the time I got to work, I was soaked through. And then it didn't rain throughout the entire day and started maybe 10 minutes before I had to leave the shop. And now I'm drenched again.
What time do you get to work in the morning?
I get to work just before 8:30.
Oh, man.
Sometimes earlier.
I leave my house at around 8:30, which is bad because it takes 50 minutes for me to walk to work.
It's the difference between sales and marketing.
Well, no, it's fine.
That's
I am supposed to be
someone
there
who's
time.
Good at their job and Joe.
Someone who does
Thank
work
you.
And is Joe Branton. How's things at your end, Matt? How's London?
Yeah, good. I actually went to see Joe Branton at a gig in London.
Crazy.
I went to a gig.
I was I was really drunk before I played as well.
Yeah, it was probably all that rum. Actually, I think I only saw you have one drink, but yeah.
No, I
it was very, very good, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I thoroughly enjoyed Joe's bass sound. Because he was using an Orange Obi-Wan.
Can you remember
amazing.
How any of the songs go?
No, although I did take a video, and then it's a slow-mo video, and Joe's face is hilarious.
Amazing.
So maybe I'll post that up on the group.
I do have the greatest bass face.
You got to put that in
there. There was a photographer there, actually. There were a couple of guys taking photos, but there's one guy who also writes for a webzine called Fecking Bahamas, and he's...
Called what?
Fecking Bahamas.
Makes sense.
It's just like a math webzine, but he's started coming to all the Polymath shows, going in, like, you know, at the front with the camera, and not taking proper pictures of everything, but just taking pictures of my bass face up as close as possible, and then he uploads the new bass face pictures for that gig.
Branton's bass face.
Yeah.
If you've contracted Branton's bass face, please do contact your local doctor. So where was the gig?
I was playing the Islington in Islington, next to the Islington Academy. Not to be confused with the Islington Academy. It is actually just
the Islington.
What's your nearest tube station?
I think it's the. I think it's
Islington.
No,
Highbury and Islington.
No, it's Angel.
Angel. Yeah.
It is actually Angel. Yeah, it was good. I was playing my Obi-Wan 500, and I was going through. Someone had brought along. Well, the bass player from Iran Iran had brought an Ampeg 810 Heritage, one of the Heritage 810s, which are my favourite series of Ampegs.
Yeah.
So I was really happy to be going through that. I would have loved it if they'd have turned up around the time that we were supposed to sound check, so that I could have had any idea what I was going to sound like at the gig. But it was great. At least the bass amp turned up, so that was good.
Well, Jay and I had a similar experience this week in that we did a gig together.
Oh, you did? Yeah, of course. Jay moonlit in your band.
He did.
I did.
I mean,
barely.
There's no such moonlighting, really. It's kind of a revolving door of second guitarists and drummers and everyone but me, basically.
Is it because you're really horrendous to work with?
People just leave.
It's the Mark Random jam band.
Yeah,
right.
Basically.
Did you get it? Oh, he's
basically.
He's unstoppable.
Yeah, it was good. We did a gig in Brighton and loads of people turned up and we played some punk and stuff. But similarly, a band who said they were going to bring along a second cab did not turn up during sound checks. But someone had a twin. So Jay got to experience two completely different guitar rigs through the course of the evening.
I did.
What did you use in soundcheck? You used twin?
I used Mojo into a twin.
Which sounded really, really good.
It did sound really good, and then I broke a string.
Yep.
And didn't have any spares with me.
Did you bring a backup guitar?
I did, but also I just went home and bought some more strings.
I was expecting you to say no, as you're a punk band.
I didn't bring a spare guitar. Tim, who's the lead guitarist, brought a spare guitar.
Do you know I bring three basses to every gig?
That's
when
ridiculous.
Have you ever snapped a string?
No, because I have one in E standard, one in D standard, and then a spare.
Why don't you just get a Digitech drop?
Oh, I did, but then my guitarist nicked it because it sounded better on guitar.
Why don't you just get a Digitech drop?
Or a
Morpheus drop tune?
Yeah, the Morpheus drop tunes are good, actually.
Or
and
you're playing bass,
cheap.
just play lower. Like,
well, I need lower. That's the point. I need D.
Well, okay. Well, just play everything else higher.
Start lower, work up.
Yeah, I could just get a hip shot and then learn to adjust my hand shapes. I guess.
Yeah.
Rather than bringing two basses, but then I don't get to show off my awesome bass collection.
I mean, two. I understand.
You've got three. A bass collection.
Well, because there's a spare. Because you can't put the D standard in E standard because of the way it's set up, and vice versa.
But what's the other one in?
The other one's
in
a spare.
E flat.
No,
just in case.
The other one's just like, just a cheap, like jazz bass that can do any tuning.
Okay.
With EMGs in it.
You're mental.
Matt sold it to me.
Oh, I remember that bass.
Yeah, remember that bass.
I remember that bass. It's great.
Great bass. Anyway, sorry.
Cheap. That's all right.
So what rig did you actually use for the gig?
I used a Boogie Mini Rec.
What?
I used a Boogie Mini Rec.
Why didn't you use your amp?
I didn't want to carry it.
I mean, a bass
from
one.
Or get a taxi.
A bass from 135 is like the heaviest thing.
Also, I have lent that to a mate, so I couldn't use that.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't it get snapped in half? Supersonic?
I told you, did I not tell you about that? That snap, that doesn't exist anymore. I lent the supersonic to a mate, and when he couriered it back to me, the courier dropped it and it got broke in half. I could have used the Vox, but I didn't have time to go home after work before going to the gig. B, I didn't really want to pay for a taxi. And C, I live on the second floor and it's really heavy. I should have done that. I should have played the Vox, but I didn't.
So we ended up using a mini rec for a Marshall 212,
yeah,
with a bit of Mojo in the front.
Yep. I think the twin probably sounded better.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, yeah, it showed off like what the Mojo is all about, really.
Yeah. I mean, it sounded great. It sounded really good.
Who would have thought? A twin with a drive pedal.
Yeah,
punk,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah. It sounded great, and I really enjoyed playing. And by the time we got to, because all the songs that Mark writes are verse, chorus,
the same,
verse, chorus.
Well, do you remember when
sometimes
you
chorus,
two,
verse, chorus, verse?
You two were sitting in here.
You two
playing,
were sitting in here.
Yeah,
what,
you two.
The Edge,
yeah,
and Bono. Was
Edge and Bono
in here.
Were in here.
Yeah.
The pizza.
Yeah.
No, you, Mark, and Jay were sitting in here learning the songs.
Wait,
and
who are you talking to? Me, Mark, and Jay? No, I.
You, Jay, and Mark.
Yes,
you were in here.
Mark and Jay.
Yeah. You.
Yes.
Mark and Jay were in here learning all the Random Heroes songs.
Yes.
And I picked up a bass and worked them out at the same time.
Yeah, that was actually really, like, inconvenient because I was listening to you not quite playing what we were playing.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It doesn't matter. But anyway, because the songs are either all verse, chorus, verse, chorus, or chorus, verse, chorus, verse, like, by the time I'd finished the first block, I was fine. I probably messed up a couple. I mean, I only had one practice. But by the time I got through the first block, by the time I'd reached the halfway mark, it was plain sailing, you know.
Because it's like how, you just it's repeat like how, all of those songs again, basically.
Yeah,
all
it's
the
like
songs
how,
are the
you
same.
Know how when you run a 200 metres, it's faster than running 100, like...
No, that's not true.
200 metres.
You can't run a 200 metre faster than you can run a 100 metre.
If you run 200 metres...
It's just not possible.
200 metres is an average... 200 metres is faster than... It has a faster average speed than 100 metres.
Okay. Like
they get up to a faster speed.
Because they don't...
Spend so much
that,
time accelerating. Yeah, yeah, they've just got the top... So, like I can't remember the exact figures, but, like... The world record for 100 metres is like
nine
seconds or something. And the world record for 200 metres is like 17 seconds.
Yeah.
Or something. Anyway, the point is, and now I've explained all that, I kind of regret going into it. The point is, you're more than the sum of your parts. Cheers.
I have no idea what that was about.
I do think we should have a new segment in this podcast called Jay's Analogy.
Jay's, where we just, every week, something's happened and Jay just makes up an analogy about it.
Granted, that wasn't my finest moment.
No, it was.
I might actually just put the circus music underneath that as yours. So the gig was good. I didn't break any strings. The other guitarist didn't break any strings. And Jay, I think, broke three strings.
Just two. Yeah. I tell you what, okay, and this is probably a point. You know how for the last, I don't know. So the thing that I realised while on that day was I reckon that's only the second time I've played guitar. I played like a gig playing guitar in probably 8 years.
Yeah,
because everything else, because I've only ever played bass,
yeah,
really, in the last sort of 10 years, and
even though you're more a guitarist than a bass player.
Oh, well, I prefer playing guitar, but I'm definitely a better bass player than I am guitar. Well, I'm definitely a less worse bassist than I am guitarist. But I've always championed the Ernie Ball coated slinkies, and they just broke. They just broke really quickly. Like, I changed the strings.
I think that might speak more to your abilities than to
maybe
the strings.
Don't naysay Ernie Ball. They are absolutely the cornerstone of what good strings
I mean,
be.
Maybe it's just that I'm club-fisted now.
I mean, yes.
But I didn't break any strings on the spare guitar.
You didn't. But that also, I believe, had Ernie Ball.
Okay.
I don't know whether they were coated, but...
Maybe I was being more careful because I had already cut my hand open and bled all over my guitar, and I was worried about doing it on somebody else's.
Yeah.
So I saw something that would be perfect for you and your club-handedness.
Was it a...
pair of guitar mittens.
No, it's a Plectrum
PlayStation
company.
Controller.
It was a plectrum made by a plectrum company called something along the lines of, I think it's Dragon Heart. And okay. they do one which I think is called the Purple Heart, but don't quote me on it, which is...
Purple Heart.
Yeah.
Joe Branton.
Yeah. He said Purple Heart. Yeah, it's the size of a rock. You hold it with your hand.
What?
Yeah, you hold it with your whole hand, but it goes into a point. So it still comes out into a plectrum point, but it's a completely circular thing. I don't know how to describe this via audio.
Terrible idea.
But it's the size of a rock with a point on the end, and so you pick using your using your wrist.
You do not want to see the motion that Joe Brandon just did. We were talking about videoing the podcast earlier and how that might be a thing. Maybe
we are going to do it
next year. Maybe
no.
And now I'm really having second thoughts after that wildly inappropriate hand gesture.
But it would have made it so much easier to explain.
You play guitar essentially holding an ocarina.
Yes, exactly. But I thought it'd be perfect for you.
I'm going to look at this.
I mean, I can. I don't understand. No,
why don't you just go to like 46 mil nylons? You know, they're so flimsy. There's no way you could hit a string hard enough with such a thin piece of plastic.
I'll still definitely brand. Well, they can do the 38s. You can get the 38s.
I started using those felt plectrums on my bass.
And how long did the plectrum last?
Yeah. I mean, it split in half after, you know, I don't know. I got at least 5 minutes or so out of it. And it was
money well spent. Everything's gone a bit psychedelic this evening. Like, we're talking about plectrums made out of rock and running the 200 metres faster than you can run the 100 metres.
I think it's made out of dragon heart.
Okay, fine. That's not a real thing. Joe,
Skyrim.
Talking about psychedelic evenings, you spent some time with Sir Stuart of Ham.
Yeah, I know. Stu Ham came, brought a lot of acid, and it was really psychedelic.
For the record, Stu Ham did not bring a load of acid, nor does the Guitar Nerds podcast encourage the use of drugs in any way. Only Joe Branton does.
Exactly. Stu Ham came down, did an in-store clinic at my shop.
Okay.
It was really, it was great, actually. It was the most packed, I think, maybe I've ever seen an event.
I'm very, very surprised by that. Because I would have thought that most people don't know who he is.
Well, exactly.
And for people who don't know who is Stu Ham?
Stu Ham is the bass player of, or you know, sometimes bass player of Joe Satriani and Steve Vai. He's also the first bass player to ever have a Fender Signature Model bass.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
I mean, we have this conversation recently. Didn't I say, what about John Entwistle?
It wasn't a signature.
Yeah,
but he did help design it, but it was probably before they were calling it signature models.
Yeah.
I mean, not only that, but Stu Ham had Fender make him a signature bass. Bear in mind everything that Fender stand for.
Yeah.
He had them put two jazz pickups and a P-bass pickup in it. It was active. The second incarnation of that model was double active and short scale, which he explained for me, because I went for...
What do you mean double active?
As in 18 volt,
okay.
11.9. It went short scale for a while, which he explained to me when we went for drinks and a curry and a lot of shots. That man can really drink and insists on having a shot with every beer. But anyway, he went short scale. he went short scale because he'd put on so much weight at that time in his career.
What?
So he changed to short scale because he couldn't reach.
That's not true.
That is what he said.
That is what he said.
He said he put on a lot of weight, so he went short scale.
This is definitely not anything he's ever got on record saying.
No, probably not on record. I'm giving you insights. This is me and Stu Ham drunk out of our minds on tequila at a curry house in Brighton. But
wow. So he chubbed up and he couldn't reach the low F or something.
Yeah, yeah. But now he had a time endorsed at Washburn, and he's now endorsed by Warwick, where he'd just come from, where he'd been at a Warwick meeting. I assume it's like...
Had he been
AA.
To there? But hi, my name's Stu, and I've got a problem with Warwick's. Yeah.
Who doesn't? But yes, he'd been there with the... Juan Alderet, and they'd hooked up when they were there.
Wait, does he
great.
Play Warwick?
Juan Alderet is about to get his first Warwick signature. Yeah.
Okay,
they were both at the same thing.
Weird.
Juan actually showed me a picture of his. His is basically going to be basically a Fender jazz bass made by Warwick, but with two massive EBO style humbuckers, actually Dark Star humbuckers.
Really? That's interesting.
The brewery.
Cool.
Yeah. Yes. No, not the brewery.
Oh.
But yeah, Stu Hamm turned up with this amazing toxic green. it's my favourite colour. This sort of matte toxic green. I think it was a streamer. It was a 5-string streamer body, but with four.
Was it the contoured-y one, or was it the one with the big upper?
The streamer. So
that's the contoury one.
Yeah,
isn't it?
The contoury one. So it's the one that sort of curves for gentlemen with a slight pudge.
Yes.
Yes.
Which now all makes sense because of the previous story.
Yeah. But yeah, it was.
What did he talk about?
How to lose weight.
He's like Diamond Dallas Page. Just started doing his own yoga. He looks a bit like Diamond Dallas Page, actually.
Yeah, he does. Well, he spoke about lots of things. He spoke about how he was at a session the other week, drunk out of his mind, and kept playing things a tone out.
Okay.
No, not really. He didn't tell me that. But no, he was. He just told us stories about sort of like how. What bass was, and really he spoke a lot about like Jaco and how Jaco Pastorius changed the way people viewed the bass, and how, because I guess Stu Hamm's known for being a solo bass player, and solo bass is, you know, a relatively recent invention, and Stu Hamm's one of the pioneers of that. So he was talking about a lot how players brought that around and how he was there for the start of that. And then sort of some of his techniques and writing style, because, of course, he does a lot of finger tapping.
Of course.
And, yeah, that sort of thing. And yeah, he spoke a lot about that and the amps he used, because it was a Hartkey event.
I was going to say, is he still playing Hartkey?
That's right, yeah. And actually, he plays the Hartkey XL cabs.
Okay.
Which are their budget range.
Yeah, they're not the absolute budget, are they? They're kind of like...
No.
Halfway up. So they're the ones that are half paper, half aluminium.
No.
Oh, really?
No, that's... maybe you are right. I thought High Drive were half and half.
No, they are the ones with neodymium drivers.
Right.
XL, I believe, are the ones that are paper and... I mean, you're the one that literally just went to an event with him. So
yeah.
You should probably know. But yeah, they were always the ones that had paper and aluminium.
And he spoke about how he doesn't like using effects.
Okay.
He doesn't even use compression.
I mean, who does?
Does he play with the plectrum?
If you finger tap, no, he doesn't.
If you finger tap, yeah, it's pretty impressive.
I'll tell you what, he should definitely have used the compressor. He was getting, it was louder on his high end. I was like, oh, can you not hear that? But I mean, he was an amazing player and a really top dude.
Okay.
So yeah, it was cool to get an insight into the, because he's had so many signature models as well.
Yeah.
He had the Urge. The Urge 1, the Urge 2,
yeah.
And then he had the Washburn and the Warwick. And the one he brought was a prototype, and it's just going through its second incarnation now. So it was really interesting to talk about how he goes about designing instruments as well.
Interesting to see Warwick taking on new endorsees and new signature models and stuff.
So. Looks like they're sort of jumping back on it.
That's good. That is very good, because they've been, certainly in this country, they've kind of been out of the frame for
they've been
maybe four or five years, something like that, five, 6 years. So yeah, cool that they're doing new stuff. Talking of new stuff, should we do some news?
Nudes.
First up, a massive bit of news. Brand new Orange product. Matt Knight, want to fill us in?
Oh, no, yeah, I know what this is.
Did you just say my name, or did Joe talk over it?
Always. So, tell us what we know. tell us what you know about the Orange Micro Dark.
Oh, yeah. The amp that I think everyone's probably been asking them to make for ages. Basically, a Micro Terror, but with all the Dark Terror gubbins inside. But amazingly, not just that, it's got the cab sim out for headphones. So when you're hearing it through headphones, you're getting the proper cab sim, which I think I remember hearing is the same... simulator as the pedal they've just bought out as well.
The Bang Guitar.
The Bax Bang Guitar.
Yes. Alongside of that, you've got the shape control, which is the same thing they've got on the little Jim Root head, and obviously the drive, one of the drive channels on the dual dark, and an effects loop, because I suppose the thing is, if you're using something with so much gain, running your delay pedals or whatever into the front is going to sound a bit messy. So yeah, they've added an effects loop as well, and for the money, I think they're going to be £129. I think everyone is going to end up having one.
Because, what a great little recording tool.
Yeah, 100%. Because you can, I think you can just go straight at the headphones into a mixing desk. I don't think you have to plug in. I might be wrong, but I don't think you have to plug in headphones because
no,
of the cab.
No, you're right. Yeah, because of the cab sim, you can just use it straight into a desk for recording.
So I think that's going to sound, that's going to be amazing for recording. Because yeah, you could go straight into an interface. So for metal stuff, it's going to be amazing. But you know, I suppose it doesn't just do some of the super high gain. You can clean it up a little bit as well. So yeah, I think I want one.
I'd have listened to some of the demos, and it is very, very convincing. Like, it'll do the proper heavy orange dark sound, but then also, like, it will scale back a bit and do some yeah, clean stuff. So,
and the thing is, through a 4x12, they just sound absolutely massive.
Yeah, and that's always the test of those little heads, isn't it? It's like, can you plug it into a 4x12, and does it still sound good?
I think they sound better than the Microterras.
Yeah, the video was really impressive. Have you guys actually tried one yet?
No, they've not dropped yet.
Okay.
I've only seen the demo one that was bought in, and I've heard a little bit of it, but I haven't actually had a chance to play through it. So
I was on holiday when Orange came round and showed us.
Okay.
So I couldn't see it, but from what I've heard, it's very good.
Yes, I like the demo stuff a lot. I thought it sounded very, very impressive. Some new pedal news. TC Electronic have announced the Sentry Noise Gate. Have either of you two done any reading on this?
I have.
Of course he has.
Of course I have.
I did a bit of reading on it, and it sounded quite interesting. I mean,
how interesting can a noise gate be?
It's got an effects loop.
Very interesting.
Go on then, Matt. Convince me about why I should care about this.
So, it's got tone print, which I thought, that's a bit weird. Why would you have tone print on a noise gate? But because of the way their noise gate works, I think it's taken out of one of their rack units, like they did with the compressor. So it's a multi-band noise gate. You can plug it in via PC, and then you can edit all the frequencies. So if you effectively, you put it at the end of your chain, turn it on, and then you can use the tone print editor in real time till you edit out the frequencies that are giving you any noise, and then save it as a tone print. So you always know that when you plug it into your rig, you don't have to adjust anything. You basically put it in tone print, and it will do exactly what it needs to do for your rig.
That is actually...
Matt Knight, everybody.
Yeah.
Matt Knight, ladies and gentlemen.
That is actually really useful, though.
It is really useful.
Why is it useful?
So if you've got, within your pedal board, let's say that something is creating a particular frequency.
Oh, right. Okay, so it's making a frequency. Is it making that frequency whilst you're playing?
Yes, maybe.
No, no.
It might be.
So it's only when you're not playing.
But some people, and I'm playing devil's advocate here because that's not really what we do, but some people do, like, you know, like metal bands and stuff have that bit where they, like, I don't know, they'll stop and then they'll go like,
it's whereas not for that, it's because they want the that zoom, zoom. It's because they want the noise gate to really cut out as soon as they're not playing, rather than it being sort of like a buzz frequency.
But not, yeah, because, you know, we were talking about the hum debugger from Electro-Harmonics last week, weren't we? This is effectively like a 9-volt version that will fit on your pedal board easier, that you can tailor to your specific pedal board rather than just turning it on and hope that it works.
Yeah.
Like, because all different pedals will give out, you know, different frequencies, and then the end result is gonna be different. But also, because of the effects loop, you can tailor it for just a specific drive pedal or a specific part of your rig as well.
I'd think it's just... TC Electronic, obviously, now there's not many pedals that they haven't made. Do you know what I mean? They're kind of covering most stuff. So it's going to be interesting now to see where they fill out the rest of the range, if they're going to keep producing tone print, or do they just, like, take it somewhere else entirely? Do they do, like, a multi-effects or you know, something else completely different?
I'd really like them to sort of start getting a little bit more adventurous.
A bit weird.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is that everything they've done so far has been great, don't get me wrong, really, really good. You know, as I say, I'm never going to ever shut up about the Mojo Mojo. I think it's one of the best pedals ever made.
Yeah.
You know, the Flashback is great, the Alter Ego is great, and then they sort of expanded those to sort of go up against the DL4, I guess, to a certain degree. And it seems like what they've done to a certain degree recently is and maybe this sounds like criticism, it's not meant to be a criticism, but they've played it very safe, and yes, they've just sort of gone, okay, we can probably do what this other company are doing a little bit better.
Let's make a tuner.
Well, yeah,
let's make three different tuners.
Yeah, but what
let's
they did
is...
let's
make a small looper.
Yeah, and what they've done is they've... everything they've done has been very good, but they've never surprised anybody. Not really, you know.
I think the Ditto did. But outside of that, I think.
Yeah, back in the day, the original Ditto was...
looper. I suppose it was, yeah.
And it was under 100 quid.
That's fair, yeah, I suppose that's fair.
But other than that, I agree with you.
You know, it's not like they've gone... it's not like they've done what, I don't know, Electroharmonix have done, for example, which is just like, how do they keep coming up with all of this stuff?
Yeah.
You know, I love TC Electronic. I think they are such a good company. Like, you know, they've got the heritage behind them. You know, they're a proper... guitar, like proper rock and roll company, and I think it's taken them a little bit of time to get to the point where people start actually believing that they are like a...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Rock and roll company. They're not just like a pro audio, yeah, or a studio company. They are like rock and roll people making pedals for bands.
Yes.
And I just think it would be really cool if they did something a little bit out there, because I think if they give themselves a little bit of artistic, because there's obviously a lot of smart people working for that company, and I think if they gave themselves the artistic license to do something a little bit different, they could come up with some absolutely incredible results.
Do you know what I think they'll go next? Bass stuff, because they don't do anything bass specific at the moment.
Yeah, they do a lot of amps. I just love their Scandinavian demos.
Yeah.
The guys are so... I was watching the one for the Hyper... thing.
Hypergravity,
yeah. And it's just great. It's just so calming. I've never been so calmed watching a video. It's this guy being like, you know, we wanted to make this pedal so people could use it and compression would work. You know, it's great. I felt just really chilled out watching this guy talk to me about multi-band compression.
Good. Well, you know.
Are you going to get one of those?
No, I'm happy with the CS3. It doesn't... I would only use... I don't like multi-band compression. I like vintage compression when it over-squashes stuff a little bit. So I don't think I'd want...
Isn't that exactly like what you were criticising people for using that noise gate for?
Not quite, no. The noise gate takes any soul out of what you play, which is what metal players want. They just want stuff to sound like MIDI.
That's kind of what compression does.
No. Not if you use an old rubbish one.
What if you use a
plectrum? CS3 is not a rubbish compressor. It's really good.
But it does a very, very simple thing.
It's not multi-band compression, basically, yeah, exactly, is what you're saying.
And that sort of compression is great.
Yeah.
Like that, the MXR Dynacomp, those sort of sounds, those are the... That's like a cool compressed sound.
Yeah.
Whereas I think there's a difference between using a compressor for vibe, which is what I use it for,
yeah,
and using a compressor to even out your notes, yes, which is what a multi-band compressor,
yes,
is for.
Right, yeah. Okay.
More new pedal news. Red Witch Pedals have unveiled the Zeus Bass Fuzz. Joe Branton, you've been doing a bit of research on this one.
Yes, I certainly have. It's a completely wicked pedal. It's kind of following the trend of bass effect pedals that, for the first time, I think, in the last few years, have included mix functions, wet, yep, to dry mix functions on the pedal itself, which is just so necessary for bass. I mean, I think half the reason a lot of players that favour things like the Big Muff as a fuzz pedal for bass would run like a an ABY pedal as well, so that they can get their clean signal going out through stuff. And I think a lot of bass players with drive want a clean amp and a drive amp so that it carries through. And, you know, as with quite a few things, the Red Witch Zeus bass fuzz does that, but it does a whole lot more. It's based on the Fuzz God 2. Do you remember that pedal, Matt?
Yeah, the Red Witch was one of the first pedals I ever bought. Really? I had a phaser from theirs, and that was really good.
Yeah, they brought out the Fuzz God 10 years ago, and you know, it was a massively successful boutique fuzz pedal. Sounded great. Bass players loved the sound of it, but it didn't, as with a lot of guitar fuzzes, it just didn't deal with our low end quite so well. So finally, after, you know, lots of bass players, I guess, asking for one, Red Witch have made this, which is essentially that pedal with an extended range. But they've also added an octave control onto it, also with a mix function. So you have an optional, you've got a second foot switch for the octave, so you've got octave and fuzz in one pedal, both with mix controls to your clean, and then you've got like an, you know, sort of an amount function for the octave and for the fuzz itself, sort of a gain. And the other one's called Sputter.
Okay.
Which sounds to me like it should be like a compression, what you get on the ZVEX fuzz face.
So I actually had a listen to the demo on this, and what the Sputter does is it kind of just glitches things up a little bit, so you get that kind of like...
Oh yeah, so just like the ZVEX fuzz face.
Basically, thing. Yeah. I really like the sound of this pedal, actually. I hadn't read the news story, but I did have a quick listen to the video. And if you want like kind of glitchy... almost like, you know how like Jack White uses a fuzz, like, yeah, just like squealing
exactly
and stuff
that
like
sort
that.
Of thing. And that's exactly what the Fat Fuzz Face offers from ZVEX. Yeah. But it's, even the Fat Fuzz Face isn't really designed for bass, and
no.
It doesn't. It comes very, very close, but there are some frequencies it just squashes a little bit too much. This offers a perfect alternative to that, and that sort of Jack White-y fuzz sound, yeah, I think, is such a desirable fuzz tone for bass players.
Is it not weird though that there's no volume control on the front? You have to like open it underneath to get the I think the overall volume controls and like a trim pot inside.
Yeah, but I think it's the sort of thing you'd tailor early on. I don't think the volume control on any of my pedals is something that I use a lot.
You just kind of get it set up and then leave it, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking if you need to adjust it in a hurry.
Yeah, it's true. That is true. That is I mean, I'll accept that shortcoming for a pedal that sounds incredible. But yeah, I agree. It, you know, having a fifth knob on the front probably wouldn't have hurt.
And it's called Zeus.
Yeah.
Zeus, isn't it?
It's the four-knobbed Zeus.
Indeed, the four-knobbed Zeus. What a terrifying thought. Man, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
Who is your favourite guitarist in Metallica that isn't James Hetfield?
Well, it'd be Kirk Hammett.
How much would you like to sound like Kirk Hammett?
It is my favourite tone since he uses an amazing Les Paul.
Okay. Does he actually... Is he still using that?
Yeah, he does use it live.
Right, good. Well,
$2 million guitar.
$2 million guitar live.
Probably more than that, actually.
Here's a pedal
that... black and put a picture of a spooky ghost on it.
Here's a pedal that in years to come will no doubt be worth nowhere near $2 million. The KHDK Electronics Ghoul Screamer.
Kurdik.
The Kurdik.
Do you know what I love? Is that he reviews it on his own website. I love it. I get such a balance of tone. It's like, well, yeah, you sort of designed it. So
it'd be pretty bad
if you went, oh, don't like it.
Do you want to fill us in on the story there, Matt? Do you want to tell us who KHDK Electronics are?
Fill us in, Matt.
So it's a company started by Kirk Hammett and some other guy who was named
DK?
I can't remember. Oh, David Karen, that's it.
That's
who's
my
like,
dad and mum's name.
It's Kirk Hammett and Mark's parents.
Kirk Hammett and Mark's parents have collaborated in designing what can only be described as Metallica sound in a box. Didn't realise they were such big fans, Mark.
Oh no, they love it.
That's really funny.
So, do we know what pedal it's based on?
No, I think it's
just call
effectively
your dad.
Like, yeah, a sort of it does everything from sort of really clean to really overdriven. So I think it's a circuit of sort of their own design.
Okay.
But it's more of an overdrive rather than like a metal distortion.
But is it kind of like a preamp sort of thing rather than... Is it quite comprehensive in controls and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's got a lot of control on it, and I would really like to try one out before I kind of said exactly what it sounds like. Yeah, but you've got all these little dip switches on it for different compression, bass and highs, and then it's just like a standard drive tone and volume. So I think it's going to do everywhere from sort of like just pushing the front end of your amp to kind of a standalone sort of high gain distortion.
I didn't see any videos or any like audio sample or anything like that yet, so I wonder whether it's still like prototype at the moment.
Quite possibly. I mean, I thought I'd just quickly pop onto their website, and there's also two other pedals I think they're talking about, which is a clean boost and an overdrive as well.
Okay.
They're obviously doing like a whole range of these that he's using on his pedal board at the moment.
That we'll see more of this now that these people have got a chance to sell directly to the public. Like, I'd imagine we'll see quite a few signatures. Like Zach Wilde obviously did his own range of guitars. I think Kurt Hammett is doing some guitars as well as these pedals.
Marcus Miller's got his own range of basses.
Marcus Miller's got his own range. We'll see more of this now. People can just sell stuff through their website, you know.
I don't think Ghoul Screamer is a very good name.
Ghoul Screamer is a terrible name.
They should have called it the Puppet Master.
That would have been very good.
Or the Lightning Rider.
That would also have been very good.
Or the...
Are you out of albums?
Anger Saint. I don't know. the Reloader.
The Reloader is very good.
Like, Metallica got some good album names.
They,
Lightning Rider. Imagine a pedal called the Lightning Rider. That's a wicked name for a pedal.
Whereas they've made the Ghoul Screamer.
They missed a very excellent opportunity earlier, like a few weeks ago, where they released their own beer, and I suggested they should have done their own cider and called it Ride the White Lightning. I mean, you know, they should just come to us. If they need anything naming, we got
The White Lightning.
You know where to find us, Kirk. Shall we have a little break, and we'll come back and we'll do some questions?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, break.
Are you unsuccessful and with few friends? Impress passers-by with the all-new Guitar Nerds t-shirt. Head over to guitarnerds.net/shop and buy yourself one of the all-new official Guitar Nerds t-shirt.
Okay, first question this week comes from Alistair, who says, "Guys, I need some advice. I suffer really badly from sticky nuts and I need you to help me lubricate them. I'm really fed up with my G-string sticking and whatever I try wears off after a few days. Seriously though, all my guitars suffer from the same and it's especially bad on the G, so I must be doing something wrong. What do you use to ease the friction?" J. Cross.
I would presume that Alistair is probably using a guitar that's like through a side, like three machine head to side. You do tend to find that when you're using a through a side guitar, the G will tend to suffer more. You'll probably find that it's out of tune a bit more than the other strings anyway, simply because it's got that much further to go than the other strings, and because it's a plain string rather than a wound string, there's a little... I mean, I don't really understand the mechanics of it, but that's what I've always experienced, is that tends to go. And therefore, you'll probably find that there's just a little bit more tension on that, and that's why it's, you know, it's snapping. There's a product called Big Ben's Nut Sauce, which is a nut lubricant that you just... You'll buy a little... you can get it in a dispenser that looks a bit like a syringe, and it's probably like a tenner, and it will probably last you 20 years. It will last so long, and you just use a really tiny amount, and it just uses... it's a nut lubricant that just like really, really works. It's really, really good. The other thing to try is just try and keep the guitar clean. As boring and as patronizing as that sounds, when you finish playing, use some fast fret, and that might help. if the problem is really bad, it might be worth getting the nut recut, just because you may find that there's, you know, perhaps it's a bit sharp in there, and it just, you know, possibly you need a new nut. Otherwise, it's difficult. I mean, that especially the G, especially if it's a three aside. If it's not a three aside, then maybe there's something a little bit more dodgy going on. Maybe you should try changing the nut anyway. But I'd definitely start with some Big Ben's nut sauce. I think that's a really, really good product.
Yeah, I would say that. I'll go on, Matt.
I was going to say, James actually made a good point. A lot of the time, if it's sticking and then like pinging out of tune, it's probably because, I would imagine, he's probably put heavier strings on it. And although they feel like they're sitting in the nut, they might be too tight. And then getting the nut recut just means they move better with like in the nut itself, and it'll stop them sticking. So it could be that, yeah, you've put 10s on it when the guitar's normally set up for 9s or 11s when it's normally set up for 10s. And that can cause a bit of an issue.
One thing to try, like if you're not sure if that is the problem and you don't quite want to spend on the nut sauce, you could get like a graphite pencil and like run that up and down in the nut slot. That tends to work, not for very long, but it might prove whether you need like, you might need to like recut the nut.
Yeah. I'm not always sure about using that in the nut slot. I'd probably use it in
Can we stop saying nut slot, please?
I'd probably use it in the bridge. Maybe I'm not sure if graphite on the nut. Maybe graphite on metal, like down on the bridge.
No, I've used it on the nut.
Have you?
Yeah, right in the nut slot.
Okay, great.
Adam says,
right, witchy Joe Branton there.
Cackling from the back of the sofa. Adam says, would disconnecting a single speaker in an AC30 cause any damage? Thinking of ways to make it a little quieter for home use without having to fork out for an attenuator. Matt Knight.
Do you know what? I've never been asked this question, and I honestly not sure if I have the right answer, because I would have thought that if you'd have, it's probably hard. I'm assuming it's hardwired into the circuit, so there's actually no way you can disconnect the speaker.
Well, I mean, you can if you open it up, but I also don't think it'll make any difference.
No. You'd just be running the full load through one speaker.
Yeah. It won't make any noticeable difference.
That's actually true, because you'd half the impedance would change, so it would be drawing less from the amp.
Yeah.
But I also don't think it would make any difference, because I still think it would be a bloody loud amp.
Because, I mean, if you get, for example, perhaps a better example to discuss this is, if you, rather than talk about an AC30, if you were to line up an AC15 and an AC15C2, which is the twin speaker AC15, side by side, you're not going to notice that the AC15C2 is like remarkably louder. You may find that it will probably, maybe feel a bit louder because of the sound is spread a little bit more efficiently, but it won't make a huge amount of difference to the volume. I would say that your two options kind of are to turn down and, you know, just sort of deal with the fact that it's a that it doesn't sound as good at home, or get an attenuator. But that said, even going with the attenuator into an AC30, I think it's difficult, because it's the attenuator goes in between the head and the head unit and the speakers.
Yeah,
and you kind of need, unless there's it depends which AC30 is, Mum.
What about the Vox amp plug?
Just get an amp plug.
Well, if it's for home use.
Well, that's, I mean,
the other thing about an AC30 sounding alternative that's suitable for home use, why not go straight to Vox? And they're not a lot of money.
I mean, they're not great. I mean, they're okay. I mean, they're great at what they do, but I would say that if he's got an AC30, I mean, the other option is, you know, maybe downscale slightly and go for 15 or something,
or
like that.
Or the AC4.
AC4, best
but
amp out there.
The other. Oh no, that's the next question. So the next question kind of ties into this to a certain degree.
Okay, well let's do the next question and
just tie them in together.
Yeah, Matt says, I'm an AC30 and Telecaster player, but the Vox is really starting to ruin my back. Any recommendations for a lightweight 1x12 combo? I really like my AC30, but wouldn't mind a bit more headroom.
See, now I actually read those two questions and thought they were the same question, so I apologise for skipping ahead. But the I think that you're kind of asking, to a certain degree, you're asking two separate questions there, or at least you're asking two conflicting questions. If you like the sound of the AC30,
but it's ruining your back, then you need to go for something smaller. But if you want more headroom, you kind of need to get something bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that just one amp will do that. Certainly not just one valve amp. If you want something lighter that's going to give you more headroom, maybe have a look at, like, for example, the Orange Crush Pro 60.
Yeah.
You know, solid state, 60 watt. I think that will certainly... And, you know, it's difficult as to whether or not it sounds as good as a valve amp. I think they sound damn close. I think they sound really, really damn close. And especially recorded or at low levels, I think it will be great. Otherwise, if you want to stick with something that's full valve, the AC4, get the AC4, but the 12-inch speaker one, because they do they do a 10-inch as well.
I was going to say, because they also do an AC10.
They do an AC10. I think the AC10 kind of sits in a slightly different... it's slightly to an aside. I don't think it's an alternative to one or the other. I think it's a different amp. The reason for that is that it's a 10-inch speaker as opposed to a 12-inch speaker, which I think with those sort of combos makes a huge difference, because those, especially Vox, are all about the mid-range.
Yeah.
And I think when you go to a 10-inch speaker, it's just a little lacking. I think Fenders can get away with it. You know, like a Deluxe or whatever, I think is or a Princeton, I think is fine with a 10-inch speaker because it's more about the top end. But I think Voxes can kind of sound a little bit lacking with a 10-inch speaker. Also with the AC10, it's a digital reverb, which, again, I think is maybe a little bit lacking. That said, I think they're a great amp. Like, I really like the AC10. It isn't an alternative to an AC30 because it doesn't sound the same.
No.
What about going for a Vox Night Train, the 50-watt Night Train, and then getting a lightweight cab of some form?
They don't really sound Voxy. Well, no. They've gone for basically... a similar voicing, I guess, to the Messer. Boogie Transatlantics,
yes.
Which initially were based off Voxes. You know, that's why
which is really weird. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're much more of a modern sound, I think, particularly when you start to drive them. Like, they don't have that kind of house Vox sound.
No.
You know? So that would certainly save your back a little bit. Like, and the 112 they do for that is really light as well. Kind of depends on what you're using the amp for. Like, the clean sounds you could probably get away with if you like Vox type sounds, but driving a Night Train, it's much more of a kind of American hybrid type sound, I think. A bit of a funny amp, the Night Train. They've lasted longer than I thought they would do, considering they're not particularly Voxy. So some people must be really into them. So.
But yeah, I mean, I for Adam, I definitely would. I cannot recommend highly enough not disconnecting a speaker from your AC30.
Yeah, please do not do that.
I'm pretty sure
it's actually impossible on an AC30.
Well, I mean, it's not impossible. You just need to get it rewired, which is just a pain in the ass.
It's not just a quick thing of, like, unplugging your speaker.
No,
worth the £70 that a tech's going to charge you for the hassle of...
Yeah. I mean, either get the attenuator or, to be honest, though, the thing is for the price of a decent attenuator, you could probably buy a small valve amp. Or a decent transistor amp, which is what I would recommend doing. You know, for homies, as I say, I mean, I really like the little Black Stars. You know, the ten watt Black Star or the 20 watt Black Star. I think they're great for home use. And you know, you're not going to be able to. This is the exact scenario that I'm in that I can't turn my AC30 up, and also it weighs a ton. You know, I'm. As I was talking about it earlier on, I sort of felt like a bit of a donut because I've been complaining that I can't turn my AC30 up, and then I had the opportunity to use it and turn it up, and I didn't want to carry it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's sort of catch-22.
Yeah.
And I reckon for home use, a decent transistor amp is great because you can get proper cool sounds out of it.
You don't have to worry about driving it.
Yeah,
you
know, absolutely. It's
a classic thing. Let's do one more question. Dean says, so a few of you guys have tried/bought Orange OB1s. All I keep hearing about is the drive channel. How do the cleans sound? Joe Branton.
I don't use the drive channel.
Okay.
I don't like it.
Okay.
I know you really did, Jay.
I did like it. Yeah, I really liked it.
And I expected to. And I have like three stages of drive on my pedal board, I figured I'd probably be using... Only just a little bit, because I had a relative amount of gain in my sound. And I thought I'd have it in there just to thicken it up a little bit, but it doesn't thicken it up at all. If anything, it makes it sound thinner and more mid concentrated. Really? Well, I certainly thought right, so. Okay. As a bass player who plays with a lot of bass in my sound,
yeah,
as opposed to treble, I thought it was. It was a great drive tone for punk players, and outside of that, not a good drive tone. But, not a good drive tone for rock players.
Right, okay. See, I also use three drive pedals. and I... But granted, I didn't get a huge amount of time to sort of play around with it. I borrowed your one for that one practice.
Yeah.
And I got to the practice late, and so I just had to turn it up and be like, oh, yeah, that sounds... I mean, that sounds really good. Yeah, fine, I use that. And then I used it for a gig and just used the same settings. Yeah. And then... When I did, the next time I used it, I used the 300 rather than your 500, and yeah, I mean, I thought it sounded great, but that said, I didn't get a huge amount of time to spend that much. You know, I didn't play around with it too much. I just sort of plugged it in and was like, oh yeah, so that sounds great. That sounds great. I've got all three drive pedals on. That sounds brilliant. And I definitely was using the game. I don't think I had it very high.
No.
I think I just had it. You know, it just. The game was made, I guess, maybe only at like 9 o'clock or something.
One of the things I was actually interested to try out, one of the things I can't remember, is Aid. It's Aid,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Aid.
One of the things Aid was demonstrating in some of his video demos for the Obi-Wan was turning off the game but turning the blend on full.
Okay.
So that you were sort of.
So bring in the drive channel but not having the drive channel up.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought that would be really for me. I thought that would be like just give you a really sort of classic vibey sound. But again, I just found everything a little bit too compressed maybe on that. And so I have to say from my perspective, in answer kind of to the question, I love the cleans on it. They're not, I mean, you don't buy an orange for clean. I think that needs to be pointed out. If you want cleans, you know, By Mark Bass, like
definitely like do Mark buy Mark Bass because my little Mark One, they're awful, sounded but, absolutely bloody amazing.
Worst amps in history.
It,
but
it did if, sound really good.
They're not that they're really good.
No, they're terrible. But but you know if you want sort of a slight, it very much has that orange sound. It's got a lot of mids in it, and it's for you know if you play active bass, it's the last amp you want. And if you play in sort of like metal bands or funk bands or anything that could border on those, it's the last amp you want. But if you're playing sort of loud rock music, then it's a great clean. It's the sort of clean that would work really well with, you know, like a Gibson EB bass, like a Jack Bruce type tone or with, you know, or a John Paul Jonesy type tone. It's that sort of classic sounding bass amp. It's like what Ampeg always was. It gave that little bit of vibe to a bass player's sound, and it does exactly that. So yeah, the cleans are great if you accept that they're not proper cleans, they're sort of honky cleans.
Sure
soupy cleans.
Good stuff. Thanks for everyone for submitting your questions. facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum is where you can do so. We're going to be carrying some questions over to the Patreon episode. We're going to be talking about guitars that you wish you hadn't sold.
No.
Guitars that you wish you hadn't bought. And guitars that you wish you had bought.
Oh man, this is awful. This is cool.
Moses.
It's going to be a heartbreaker, a tearjerker, a knee slapper of a Patreon episode this week.
Let's go slap and jerk on the Patreon.
Indeed. If you want to join us on the Patreon episode, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where for as little as $5 a month, you'll get access to an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week. For $10 a month, you will become one of our executive producers. I saw someone else had just signed up to it today. And they didn't get on this email in time, so they'll be included next week in the list, which means I think we've only got 6 executive producer slots left, which grants you all of the bonuses from the $5 tier, plus you get your name read on the podcast every week, just like these lovely, lovely people.
Paul Corrigan, Dale Rasko, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Chris Wilson, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Thompson, Moo Gravett, Colin Anderson.
Yeah, another reason for us not to film these, because your face then was absolutely terrifying.
Was it?
You look like an aroused fish.
Your hair looks good, though.
thanks for joining us this week. If you want to join in, like I said, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, or you can go to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. Or you can follow us on Twitter @guitar nerds. You can follow me personally @mark_random, where you'll get wrestling and football chat. Go over and follow Matt @matt_nightsy for vintage pedals and Super Mario Maker. Follow Jay @JAYBN1 for all your punk rock needs, plus Tottenham Hotspur love, and @Joseph_900, where Joe will post things about his own band. Thanks so much for listening this week. We maybe see you on the Patreon. If not, we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Oh, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.